the airwaves of CITR 101.9 FM. Myself and a guest, we chat about a book. And you can always contact me at email at dogeardbookclubradio@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at Dog Ear Radio Book Club. You can send me your thoughts on the book that we're going to talk about. You can send me book suggestions if you want to be on the show. Feel free to reach out to me. So without further ado, we'll get into today's episode. For today's episode, we are talking about the book Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko. And I am joined by my friend and past guest of the show, Malika. Welcome to the show again.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy you agreed to come on the show and chat about this book.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I know you are. I am too. I have too many thoughts on this, but I wanted to kick off this episode by you sharing your story that you've told me before a few times, but it's a great story, so I appreciate that. I believe it has to do with the Girls Like Girls music video, a certain tweet or a certain comment.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So when I was in high school, this video came out and I loved it right away. I was like, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. Like, I loved Hayley Kiyoko. I'm the two girls in the video. They were also Disney stars and I'm a Disney girly. So I was like into it. And I'm also Muslim, like little fact if the listeners out there didn't know, but yeah, so there was this one girl, she like had a hijab in her profile picture and she's like, I'm homophobic, but the aesthetic and everything about this video is just so on point. I just love it. And then someone quote retweeted her and was like, when the closet is glass. And for some reason that made me like just start laughing. And like, it's the only thing I think of when I think of this video now too, because I'm like, oh, this poor girl. But it's like also so funny. Like it was just too good. Like the layers upon layers of like a, you know, queer, multi, different ethnicity, different religious. Like it was just so funny. I just like, it kills me. And it kills me to this day too. For a while, it was like my, what's that thing? Like my header. It was so funny. So I love this video. I love Hayley Kiyoko. Love her music. Demons was in the beginning of Loki. And like Loki's my favorite like show on Disney Plus. So like, I just like love her.
I'm so glad you do. Same. I was a huge fan of Lemonade Mouth. That was like my favorite Disney Channel movie. Still is to this day. That movie is superior. It's superior in every way. Like, people have tried to argue with me about this, but even outside of Disney Channel, that movie stands on its own. That's my take.
It honestly feels more like an indie teen movie, like a coming of age movie, rather than a Disney Channel movie. Even some of the acting performances in that, it's like, is this actually a Disney Channel movie? What are we watching at the moment?
Yeah, it's so good. I love it so much. So thank you for sharing the story. We're pre-recording this episode. But here, I actually want to play the song Girls Like Girls because I feel like you can't talk about this book if I don't play the song. So listeners, please enjoy this quick song break. Enjoy the music. And when we come back, we will get into actually talking about this book.
Stealing kisses from your missus doesn't make you freak out. I'm not sorry. Always gonna steal your thunder. Watch me like a dark cloud. On the move, collecting numbers. I'ma take your girl out. We will be everything that we'd ever need. Oh, don't tell me. Tell me what I feel.
Listeners, welcome back to Dog Ear Radio Book Club. I'm Randy and I'm joined today by Malika, and we are talking about the book Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko, based on the song music video, or I guess the music video for the song you just heard, because you can't watch the music video on the radio, unfortunately, but I do encourage you to go watch it after you listen to this episode. So for those of you who live under a rock and don't have TikTok, Hayley Kiyoko is the lesbian Jesus. It's provable because I bought a shirt at her concert that says exactly that.
So jealous.
That has to be one of my favorite shirts to wear because the writing is not like super clear. It's like that like old style, like 2000s, like kind of bubble art letter that you like spray painted. So I was wearing it to like a family dinner, and my cousin's wife asked me, "What does your shirt say?" And I was like, "Oh, it says lesbian Jesus." I'm like, yeah, it's a lesbian Jesus. And then I'm like explaining who it is. It was very funny. I got a huge kick out of that. But yeah, so she is a singer, songwriter, actor, been in many things. As Malika mentioned earlier in the show, she's originally in Disney. And she wrote this song. I believe the song and the music video came out in 2015, but I could be wrong. Yeah, is that
it? Was 2015 because I think I was like in grade 9, 10 or something. Yeah, I remember because I remember vividly being like, oh my god, this is the girl from Lemonade Mouth, and being like, oh, what's this?
Yeah, and it definitely, like, I mean, it's super gay, everything about it is very gay. and so then fast forward to this year, and Hayley releases this book, which is based on the music video. So of course, Malika and I, both being fans of Hayley, were like, hey, we should read this book and talk about it. So here we are today talking about this book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. A little thing that I read in the acknowledgments. I know that I'm jumping really quick, but did you see that they filmed the video, music video? Like, she wrote in her acknowledgments, thank you to this person for letting me use their house. It was the villain guy in Lemonade Mouth's house that they filmed that video in.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't read that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo and I like reading acknowledgments. I don't know. I don't feel like the book's complete until I read those. I don't know.
No, I think that's really good. I forget which book it is. Oh, I think it was, I'm going to forget the name now, but the really, really fantastic like Frankenstein, like reimagining book we read. I'm explaining it so poorly right now. but we read it like, I think it was like in June or something on the show. And anyways, please just go look it up. I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting the title name. But I read like the acknowledgments in that, and that really changed like the book. So I fully agree. And that's something I really want to work on, is like reading acknowledgments. And even like when they have like intro type things, sometimes I skip those.
Like the foreword, right?
don't feel proud, Malika, feel proud that you do it.
Okay, awesome. This is a little fun fact. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start off with my classic segment where I very poorly read the description of the book, and we discuss whether or not it's clear. But first I want to ask you, how did you pronounce the main character's name in this book?
I said Coley.
That's what I was thinking, Coley too. I played around with it. I was like, I don't know how else to say it.
Because in one part, it was like there was going through Sonia's things, and it was like, is it short for Nicole Coley? So then that's why I was kind of like, okay, that seems like it should be the right way. But yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on your side. So I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page before I said it, and then maybe embarrass myself. So
no, it's okay. I think we both got the same idea, because I think it was that whole Nicole line that was like, okay, that's how you say it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so here is the description of the book. It's summertime, and 17-year-old Coley has found herself alone again. Forced to move to rural Oregon after just losing her mother, she is in no position to risk her already fragile heart. But when she meets Sonia, the attraction is immediate. Coley worries she isn't worthy of love. Up until now, everyone she's loved has left her. And Sonia's never been with a girl before. What if she's too afraid to show up for Coley? What if by opening her heart, Coley's risking it all? They both realize that when things are pushed down and feelings are forced to shrivel away, Coley and Sonia will be the ones to shrink. It's not until they accept the love they fear and deserve most that suddenly the song makes sense. Based on the Billboard chart smashing, oh my gosh, I read that so poorly. Based on the Billboard charting smash hit song and viral music video, Girls Like Girls, Hayley Kiyoka's debut novel is about embracing your truth and realizing we are all worthy of being loved back. So my question is, do you think that's an accurate and good, I guess, summary for the book? Or not summary. Oh my gosh, what do they call it when they like
synopsis or whatever? I don't know how to pronounce it. That's but like, yeah.
I'm sure it's synopsis.
I would say it's pretty accurate. Like, that actually kind of gets it right on the nose. Yeah, I think it's good because it doesn't give away too much about the plot. Like, but it like it gets the gist. Like, it's a little cute rom-com coming of age. Like, I think it's good summary or synopsis.
yeah, I think it's pretty good too. Yeah. There's nothing like, I don't think it gives like too much away, and it covers like the main plot, which like the main plot of this book is, you know, the relationship between Coley and Sonia.
Oh my God, you said it so much better. I was just gonna be like gay panic.
I mean, this feeds into my other thoughts. I do think it kind of misleads you about how I think dark this book is.
Yeah,
a lot of the themes and like subplots in this book are pretty dark, and I think this sort of just makes it seem like it's like a YA romance book, which I just personally don't think I is, which I'll get into later.
I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so that's like the main thing. I feel like it's sort of like the tone of it isn't really given away how kind of dark it is in this description. Or in the synopsis, it sort of, I don't know, it left me thinking. Also, it's my own fault because I realized, so okay, let me backtrack. I'm sorry to listeners, my thoughts on this book are kind of all over the place, but let me backtrack. So I have seen this music video. I know I have, because I was a closeted lesbian in high school. So obviously I watched the music video. But it did not occur to me that I didn't remember this music video until after I finished the book.
Oh my gosh, you didn't pull a me. I like rewatched it before. I read the book and then we watched it after.
Yeah, see, that would have been a good idea, because I finished the book and I was like, what the heck? And then I went to watch a music video and I was like, oh my gosh, this is not what I remember. So that's my own fault. So part of me giving this like kind of critique, which again, I'll get into later, of like kind of missing the tone, is my own fault, because again, apparently I didn't remember the video as much as I thought I did.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, yeah, now that you say it, if I didn't remember the music video, the tone of the little blurb on the back of the book, yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, like it's kind of like, it gave me this, like, I thought it was going to be like a classic, because I've read other books, like other queer YA books, like following a similar plot of like two girls falling in love and one is closeted, they're both are closeted, and then like going through those same things of like shame and like, you know, being able, like, can you come out, and like family and friends and all of these different things that weren't as dark as this book. So I think this book does have like a bit of a darker undertone. But again, I think people who have seen the video and are familiar wouldn't really necessarily be taken aback by that, because the video also has a darker tone. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's like my overview of like my initial thoughts on the book, essentially. But the one thing I did want to say is I think it is very accurate to the video. So again, going back to my like being like, oh, like the description or the synopsis like led me astray. But it didn't really, again, if you had that knowledge of the video, I don't think it does lead you astray, because it is pretty accurate to that. And I think the additional things that she added, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about Hayley Kiyoko's personal life, and I don't want to, because that's not right. But I do know that she talks about her identity as being Japanese and English and Scottish, and what that means. And so I think, you know, writing a character that also has that identity and being able to kind of explore parts of that felt very real. And I enjoyed reading that as well.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Because since I knew the tone of the thing going on, because I was so excited to read it. Once I got my hands on the book, I was like, let's rewatch this video. Let's get into the vibe. Let's get started. And I just got really excited when I first saw it, because I was like, oh my God, the Y2K time period. Like, I'm obsessed with that. Randy knows right now. I'm like, I'm rewatching the OC. And also, I don't want to give too much away, but Imogen Heap is really important in one of the chapters. And like iconic, because it's really important in one of the episodes of the OC as well. So I was like, oh my God, this is like kismet for me, because everything just aligning. And I honestly really like enjoyed it, just because I was kind of scared going into it being like, I'm such like a lover of the song and the video. Like, what if it doesn't live up to the hype in my head? Was kind of where I was going at. I was like, oh no, I'm overhyping this. Like, but no, it was totally like, I was very happy with how it was.
Yeah, that's good. I'm very happy it lived up to your expectations.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I do want to chat about, I think we'll go into main characters. Okay. So the first one we can talk about is maybe Coley. I don't really have like a ton of notes, and not in like a bad way. So I'm realizing the more I do this show, the more I just write notes for things that frustrate me, which is bad, because I should write about like things that are good. But when I'm reading a book and like I get to a part that I really like, I tend not to pause and take notes, because I'm just like so into that part of the story, versus if I'm reading a part that I don't like, then I tend to like, it takes me out of it. And then I have to like write all these notes to like get out my emotions. But the one thing I want to say is I was team Coley for this book. Like, she went through so much in her life, and everybody in this book at some point did her wrong. And that was like so frustrating to read.
Like, even the one people, like, the few people you thought were nice, like, what was it, Brooke and Alex? Like, you thought, like, obviously they ended up being good characters in the end, but you're like, oh my gosh, like, this girl cannot get a break.
Yeah. Do you mean, what's her name? I wrote it down.
Is it Brooke? I thought it was Brooke, the one that, when Sonia goes away for to dance camp and the friend she makes from, that's, like, you know, at the convenience store or whatever.
That's Blake. So Brooke is Blake. The not cool Sonia friend that is probably...
I confused their names. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, I now know.
I had to, like, triple check that in my notes because I was, like, I didn't want to get it wrong. But, yeah, no, definitely. Even, like, yeah, Blake. Yeah, it wasn't actually until we got to the restaurant that I actually, like, we saw people. And then also, like, we'll get into this later, but, like, when she's rebuilding her relationship with her father, like, then we got to actually see moments of, like, her father and the people that she worked with at the restaurants becoming that, like, very healthy part of her life that she was lacking very strongly.
And that was something that I actually really enjoyed about this book. So obviously I went in being like, because the music video and the song were very much just about the romance. Like, it wasn't at all about Coley's life or Sonia's life or their external pressures. I enjoyed the depth of both Coley and Sonia, but, like, especially Coley exploring the relationship with her dad. I thought it was, like, such an interesting dynamic to explore because it's like, at first I thought it was a stepdad, to be honest, and that never goes well in these type of books. Like, when there's, like, a stepdad or step figure, like stepmother or whatever, like that sort of authoritative figure, like, it usually always goes wrong and they end up being usually a piece of shit. Like, it's a very big archetype. But, like, in this one, I was like, oh, okay, so you're not the stepdad, you're the real dad, but you kind of, like, abandoned her, but maybe not. Like, I thought it was very interesting. Like, it really stood out to me because typical YA romances, usually the parents are just, like, on the back burner. Like, it's no matter, like, oh, yeah, no matter the sexuality, like, the parent figure is usually, like, the one that, like, they're not very much there unless they're there to, like, drive some plot point of the story. Like, I think the example I gave was, like, oh, I'm going to take your keys away, you can't use the car. And then, like, the main character then has to sneak out. Like, that's usually, like, the parent's role in something. So I thought it was really interesting that Kyoko, like, in this romance novel, gave so much depth to how, like, parents and, like, how familial relationships kind of grow your, like, self-worth and your ideas of and perceptions of, like, love and what it is to be loved. Like, that was something that was really, like, I didn't expect but really enjoyed from this novel.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, the opposite of, like, a YA fantasy novel where, like, the parents have to die in order for, like, the character to, like, develop. Whereas I think it was great to read this where her father was, like, a huge part of her character development. Like, the scene where they have, like, the big blow up between her and Sonia. Sonia leaves, and she's, like, spending time with Blake, and then that goes very terribly. And when they, like, make that list, when she's talking about how her and her father made that list together of, like, things that they want to do, that he wants to do, she wants to do. And then when they, like, go for dinner and, like, I just, those moments were so, like, that was actually the first part of the book where my heart started to feel very, like, full reading it. And I was, like, smiling and happy. Same. Because it just, like, it was so great to, like, see that, you know, she had these people in her life that showed up for her. When, like, that whole chunk, like, three quarters of the novel, there was, like, really not much of that.
Yeah, literally in the first three quarters, the only people, because Blake wasn't even introduced at that point, Blake was a little bit later on, literally only, I think Alex was the only decent one here, but even then, it's not like he really gave a care, like, he didn't really, like, not saying he didn't, but, like, it was more like she was a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
So he was, like, he was decent to her. He was the only character that was decent to her. But then it's, like, come on. And this whole town, how is there only one decent teenager?
Yeah. No, that's so true. I was, honestly, this book was, the one thing I related to so much that I liked was when Coley's talking about, because her dad's, like, go to make friends. And she's, like, what is it to make a friend? I'm not actually quoting this, so I'm, like, paraphrasing. But, like, what is it to make a friend? Like, Is it just like who's in proximity to you? Like, that's not really a friend. And I relate to that so much as someone who went to high school in a small town with like the same people my entire life. Yeah, making friends just through proximity is not fun. And it's not long lasting. Like, I constantly tell people I'm not friends with people I went to high school with. Like, there's definitely people that I'm like still friendly with. And that's great. But I've never related to those people that still have like friends from high school. Because when you're like, you only have like 50 kids in your grade, there's not really a high probability that you're gonna like meet someone based on like shared interests and all of those things versus like when you go to college or university in like a big city at a big school. And I related to that moment so much. And luckily, the people that I passed time with in high school were not as terrible as Sonia's friend group, so I count myself so lucky for that. But anyways,
yeah, her friend group was insane. I just didn't understand like how, like, even SJ, who was sort of like nicer, like, even she, like, they all had their moments where you're like, you're kidding me.
Yeah, and you're just like, you're like, how is this happening?
I just thought it was super interesting, like, about her, and her mixed identity was something that really stood out to me too. There's this quote, let me see if I'm just gonna pull up the book. I'm never white enough, never Asian enough, never ... enough. And I was like, that's like a really interesting thing to include in like a sort of like a sapphic queer novel, because predominantly these like queer novels are like white. So like just seeing someone that has to go through like a related, like, I'm not half white or anything, but like I still have that like internal debate where it's like, oh my god, I'm so white, or no, I'm too brown, or like, you know, because I was born and raised in like British Columbia, I don't have an accent, I barely speak Hindi, it's horrible if I try. So it's just really interesting to see that in a novel, like, where like obviously there's South Asian representation in novels, and then there's like Muslim representation, and like, or at least so far the rep for like colored girls in queer novels is like very limited. So like that's just something cool I thought about Coley's character. Like, he went through a very relatable struggle that like a lot of the times I don't see.
No, I think a lot of that rings true, and definitely the part about sapphic, and especially a lot of YA, even in general, like a lot of queer YA is still so white. But I think this book stands out for having, like, bringing a different perspective to it. We are going to take a very quick ad break, and then when we get back, we'll dive into more about Sonia and maybe some plot points. So don't go anywhere.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt? Where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost?
Come on, plants, let's grow.
Do you want to change the state of the world? But instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting. Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. they provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
All right. Welcome back to Dog Ear Radio Book Club. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Randy, the host of this show, and I'm joined today by Malika. We are talking about the book, Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko. Before the break, we just left off chatting about some of the points about Coley as the character, the lead character in this book. So now I want to dive into Sonia. And then kind of from that, go on to like some different plot points and notes that I have. So I feel very terrible saying this, but Sonia is terrible.
Yes.
I struggled a lot to read this book. I'm not even going to lie to you. And again, I will acknowledge, I did it at the top of the episode. I acknowledge that's like part of my own going into it with like a bit of a different perspective or I guess expectation, because I had like completely forgotten about the music video, I guess. So I went into it with that. So I was expecting a bit more lightness. But yeah, she really made me so mad. I have, now having read the book, I have empathy for her and like understanding like the confusion of going through that and like, you know, like that tug or like feeling that, I guess, I can't think of a better word, but that drive of like what you want and like discovering that your desires are different than what society and your family and all these expectations have been telling you, but then, you know, that possibly losing you this like comfort zone that you have, even if it's not actually the most comfortable, right? Because like, as we've discussed, her friends suck.
Yeah.
And her family is not that great, but it's still a comfort zone, right? It's what you've been used to. So like giving that up is like a huge sacrifice, and it can be. So I totally get all of that. But at the same time, the things that she did to Coley made me so mad, and they hurt me.
The gaslighting was insane.
It was so bad. She treated her like she was so disposable. Like she just was there when she wanted her and gone when she didn't. And when she like let it out about her mom, about Chloe's mom, again, I can acknowledge the book tells us that she didn't do this intentionally. She told SJ and Brooke overheard, and then Brooke spread it everywhere. But I also think that if you're going to be friends with someone like Brooke, you need to pay attention of when your conversations are private and when they're not, because
yeah, like make sure you have eyes on Brooke at all time, like have a door walk or something.
Yeah, I would literally not trust that girl to do anything.
Sorry, yeah. I just remembered Brooke in the last chapter after the big fight, and then how everyone was finally on Coley's side after she was being completely outcasted this whole book. But then yeah. Brooke was like, but what about Trenton? His face is all broken. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? She ordered me.
That's funny. I mean, this book, so one of the points that this book really lost me was in the very beginning when we first meet Trenton. So it's obvious to us as the reader that Trenton is abusive. He is a terrible, horrible bully, not a good person by any stretch of the word. And I struggled so much to see this whole group stay together. Like, that's really what I struggled with. And that's like where my judgment of these characters come from. And it's like a balance, because as I acknowledge already, growing up in a small town, you're forced to make friends by proximity. But I think that as like a person, there's an extent of like when being lonely is better than being with people like this. And I think that's why I never really forgave any of these characters, even like when you said like when Alex and SJ sort of have their redemption, and even Sonia, I really don't trust them that much because it went on for so long. As you said, like Coley's not really recognized, like they're only on her side at the very, very, very end of the book when Trenton finally snaps and actually becomes very physically abusive. So anyways, that all just like kind of worked together to make me feel a lot of fiery anger towards Sonia times, especially when she like kissed Coley, I believe it was at the party, and then immediately after like kind of panicked and went and made out with Trenton. That broke my heart. That absolutely broke my heart.
That was just so like, it was just so like mean-spirited. I felt like it's like, okay, fine, you're dealing with your own feelings. And like, I understand humans are messy, especially teenagers. Like, don't get me wrong, I love a messy teenage protagonist and like messy teenage characters. But gosh, Sonia was a piece of work. Like, we're not gonna lie about that. Like, it just felt like, and also at times, it didn't even feel like she was dealing with her feelings. It felt like she was trying to spite Coley. Like, I know that wasn't her intention, as we figure out in the end, like through the emails that were like her perspective. And they weren't emails. What were they? They were kind of like MSNs, but they were calling it a different thing, AIM.
It was, yeah, but then it was like a live journal. So I think it was like a blog. And then she had like public entries and private entries. So all of her private entries were where we actually got to like understand her mindset and her ideas around this, whereas the public entries were her just being like very fake towards her friends and stuff.
And that's where I was just kind of like, okay, so I get, like, now I understand you weren't trying to spite Coley, but, like, at every point, it felt like she was just trying to shove something in her face, like, haha, like, I can still pretend to be normal, you can't. Like, I don't know what the vibe I was getting, but it felt like something like that. But then at the end of the day, like, when we discovered more of the family dynamics, like, I'm honestly a sucker for, like, a child character in a novel, and, like, the fact that she had a little sister that, like, she didn't want to be separated from, and that being her main reason, like, why she was, like, so like refusing to accept herself, like it gave me a lot of empathy and sympathy towards her. But then it's like, I don't know, I was like, I like really liked her as a character because you like were so conflicted over how you felt about her.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as a argument that she has a lot of complexity, and I do see like the point that she wants to like protect her sister. I think for me it was like the way that she kept hurting Coley, because like even that moment where Coley's like, then be with me, and she's like, I can't, and then she's like, well then leave me alone, she's like, but I can't,
it's like, oh, but that made me cringe.
Both of those things, like you can't have both those things, you have to choose one or the other. And so I think that dynamic is what sort of pushed me maybe a bit over the line of like disliking her while still like having an understanding. But at the end of the day, I'm very much like, I don't know.
I understand what you, I understand completely what you're saying. It's like, you can understand her complexities, but there's just some things where it's like, come on, like you have to understand, like this is reality. It's not just like, because I think that was another thing that, like, Kyoko did really well in her, like, writing was, like, making it feel like they were, like, in their own little bubble when they were together. Like, they were in their own little, like, dreamscape, like, land, fantasy, like, utopia. But it's, like, you can't, and, like, I think even Coley says a line where it's, like, I'm just waiting for the bubble to burst or something. So I was just, like, that was, like, for Sonia as a character, I was like, she needed to like really like, I don't think it should have gotten to physical violence for her to accept herself, but like it is what it is, that's what happened.
Yeah And I mean, that's like where when I said like it does match the music video pretty good. I do want to talk about the ending, but I don't want to get into it right now. I want to talk about some other little moments that I kind of liked and then a couple that I didn't. I'll start with the likes because Gotta do a compliment sandwich, you know. No, honestly, this, I'm not trying to make this book sound bad. I do think, however, if you are a teenager reading this book, you have to read it very critically, though.
Yeah, I agree
like
with that.
You can't read this as like a casual YA romance novel. That's not
which I honestly thought it was gonna be.
Mm-hmm. Which
like a little beach read, like just a cute little, like, you know how like the Heartstopper like books were, like, yeah. I kind of like expected that. It's definitely not.
No.
Like, if anything, it's like if Heartstopper had Ben, and oh my god, I forgot the main kid's name. That's really embarrassing. Ben and Charlie, like, if they explored that more, because that's the kind of vibes I was getting from Sonia in the beginning, too. Like, the, not that I, like, all closeted, obviously, are, like, bad, but, like, even in Sex Lives of College Girls, there's, like, a dynamic between two girls where one was closeted and one was not, and it's, like, not a toxic dynamic, but, like, it can veer into, or it's toxicity. So it's like if Heartstopper wasn't about Nick and Charlie but about Charlie and Ben is kind of like where this book is kind of what, yeah. I think
that's a really good description. Like it again, it's like that darker element, like this is more like an indie YA than like a Hallmark YA. But going back to like a couple things that Kyoko included that I really loved was these little moments of like closeted gay panic at the beginning. There's a scene where Coley talks about, she's like sitting beside Sonia and Sonia puts her hand on her leg. And like this moment where she's kind of like freezing, she's like, oh my gosh, this feels so different. I had this happen. I was like fully in love with my friend in high school. And I remember we were sitting in my basement watching a movie. And there was like this exciting part or something. I think it was Ocean's 11. I was obsessed with Ocean's 11 at this time.
Oh my god, I love this.
So she like reached over and kind of like grabbed my leg. And to this day, I still remember that like feeling of having that happen. So
like butterflies.
Yeah, it's like the butterflies in the stomach. The kind of like you like inhale quickly and you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, my crush just touched my leg. So that was just like very like sweet and relatable. I feel like a lot of like closeted queer people, teenagers can relate to that, which I think is awesome. And I already mentioned the proximity friendship thing in small towns. I thought that was like a great element, super relatable to people, especially people who grew up in small towns that were like queer or just kind of like off the mainstream, like alternative, like if you were like into video games, well, maybe not so much video games anymore, but like if you had any interests that were considered like outside of like the mainstream, like if you didn't play a sport or you didn't, you know, like to go shopping, like there was just very few communities that were welcoming.
And see, that was, I actually, when I went to this novel, I didn't go into it with like, or I didn't don't have that small town experience at all. So I guess that's why it was a bit different for me reading it. Now listening to you talk, it's like, this is very different for like very different ways we interpreted it, just because like I grew up in like the suburbs, but like even my grad, like you just talking about the difference in our grad classes, like you had 50 people graduating with you. I had 240.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, and like, I technically thought I went to a smaller school, but I guess not. Like, so it's like, that's something that's like really like that kind of is like, oh, so there is like different experiences. Like when I was reading it, it was more like, ooh, who, small town, Footloose is the closest I've gotten to, I guess, really understanding that. So that's kind of like how I read it, where for you it's like more, I guess, real. Not that it wasn't real for me, but like, I don't know, like I don't know how to express my thoughts about this, but like there is a difference in how we read it, just because there's like a lot more relatability towards like the small townness and stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I find that all the time. If there's like a part of a book that you relate to that feels like just a little bit too real, you tend to read it in like a very different way. I've had that on the show before, where like the people that I have on the show read a book so differently than me because there's a part of it that just, you know, connects to them more. And to me, that's like the beauty of books, is you never know like what part is going to speak to you and what's not. And that's why I really, this is kind of shade at some people on TikTok, but I really don't get when people are like, I can't read this book because I don't have to relate to it. Like, I can find anything in any book to relate to, even if it's just like an interest or like a passing thing. Not that you have to relate to anything, but I do think as humans, if you're reading a book about a human, there's going to be a human experience in it. Like, that's just the way the world works.
And I think it just goes, like, boils down to basic empathy. If you can't understand what a person's feeling, even if you've never experienced it, then, like, what are you doing as a human? Like, I don't know. Like, I've read so many, like, I read Percy Jackson when I was a kid, and I was neither a satyr or a demigod or, like, anything. Yet you felt everything, like, the struggle of being in public school. Like, you know, just, like, you know, just... It's just weird that you have to relate to a story, because I don't know, maybe growing up like a colored girl, like there wasn't anyone leading it. So like we were able to like even with you, it's like there wasn't many like main protagonists that were like us. So it's like we're able to understand not having relatability and still feeling for characters that mm-hmm. a lot of people are losing now.
Yeah, they're like, but the character in this isn't like a conventionally attractive straight blonde woman. How am I supposed to read this? I love that so much. And I think part of that is just ignoring character descriptions. I tell people this all the time. I don't read character descriptions. Like, I'll really? Like, read them, like in passing. Okay, also, wait, this is making me sound really bad. Okay, for context, in like... mainstream white romance novels that I read, I don't read character description, and that's like part of like growing up. I don't know, I just learned to like, because I wasn't, I don't know, I grew up as a bigger kid, and that was always something that just like I didn't want to read about like another skinny teenager, so I just pretended that they weren't a skinny teenager, that they were actually, you know, my size. And I mean, that is like such a different thing than BIPOC people reading books and like having to deal with like so much whiteness in those books. But I do think it's like a somewhat similar experience of like ignoring what the author tells you the character looks like, and you just decide that on your own. So that's like a habit I've kind of kept, and not for all books. Like for this book, I definitely obviously read the character descriptions, but if I'm reading like just like a very basic like white romance novel, I do not care what these characters look like. I'm just gonna make it up in my head.
Yeah, I agree with that, where it's like when you're reading more of like those generic, like very like tropey like romances, I imagine the characters as, okay, I do this other thing where it's like I insert actors that I'm really into at the time. So mm-hmm. when I was reading Emily Henry's book, I was really into like people who play Kaz in An Edge and Shadowbone. So I was like, these two are every Emily Henry character in existence at the moment.
Yeah. Exactly. You get it. You get exactly what I'm saying. And I love that so much. I love hearing about who like people who make TikToks about that, and they're like, I don't care what this author, this is what I picture for this character. I'm like, yes, I agree with that. I support that 100%. It doesn't, yeah. Unless it's whitewashing. That's okay. That's what I wanted to say in the beginning when I was like, whitewashing characters is not okay.
I think we understand what you, like we are. I definitely got what you meant, because I do it too. Like, it's just like more of like a, if they just give you a generic description of, oh, he had very frosty skin and blue eyes, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna imagine who I want, like that sort of thing. But like,
if they're like, oh, he's muscular with brown hair, it's like, oh, okay, what? Like, that's boring.
Yeah, I can insert whoever I want. Yeah, no, I totally understand that. But like for instance, this book, you can't really do that, because both the girls, how they look is very like integral to the story and their progression, I feel like.
Oh, for sure. And I also think that speaks to like Hayley Kiyoko as an author, and in general, better like good authors, they make it so that you can't just like imagine whoever, because it's not just a generic book that like informed so much by whiteness that like, you know, it's just like, well, they're white, this doesn't matter. Whereas if an author puts intention to their characters, then those characters become people in the book, and so they're not just dismissed, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's one thing I do really enjoy about Kiyoko's writing. She made well-rounded, like very three-dimensional characters. Even her side characters, besides Trenton, who was kind of at points just like a two-dimensional villain at points. Like, I'm honestly glad for that, though. Like, I kind of, like, not that I hate when people give, like, bad characters complexity, but, like, usually it ends up being a little too sympathetic for my liking. But Kyoko, like, with the side characters and everything, she gave them, like, layers, and I really did enjoy that. Like, Blake wasn't all that bad. She was just going through, like, a few things, and then, like, you know, her and Coley have their little reconciliation at the tattoo parlor when she's getting her new cartilage piercing thing. Alex, like, you know, does end up being a guy that says F you to Trent at the end of the day when Trenton was, Yeah. When Trenton was like, what about the bro code? And he's like, screw that. Like, what are you talking about? You just beat two girls in front of my eyes. Like, yeah. No, I was just saying, I just really liked, like, obviously it was a very character driven novel and I really enjoyed how she wrote them, even as messy as they all are. I think that's what, like, made it kind of enjoyable, to be honest, because who wants a perfect protagonist and perfect side characters? I mean, that kind of leads to, like, especially, like, a character-driven book. Like, they literally don't do much in this book. They kind of just sit around, get drunk, do drugs, and walk around. Like, that's kind of the plot.
It is. It wasn't mine, because I went to a Mormon small town, but we did still drink.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was definitely drugs. Yeah, so I guess it was true. We just hit it more, I guess. I don't know.
I think everyone, like, the teenagers all thought they didn't, like, their parents didn't know, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, well, the Mormons had to hide it really well. but then they would just go to church on Sunday and everything would be fine. So, whatever. okay, so before we run out of time, I want to chat about the ending. So I have some thoughts on the ending. Like I said, it's very similar to the music video, but I think after reading the whole book, watching the music video, I think that the ending could have been better if it was different than the music video. And I think that's because the book allowed us to get so much more into the characters than the music video. Obviously the music video is 5 minutes long. This book is like almost 300 pages, I think. So it allowed us to like get more deeper into the characters. So here's what I'm thinking. Here's where my brain went. So I think it would have benefited if it was more ambiguous of an ending. So we could still have Coley and Sonia kind of like reconnect, but not in a way that's like very overtly like they kiss and they're like, oh, we're together now, I love you. And after that like huge explosion of violence from Trent, which was just like, it was so fast. The ending, the pacing was just like so fast.
Oh my gosh, I actually have a note written here. Okay, it's kind of bad. It's like so funny, but I was like, had an anxiety attack 20 pages from the end because it felt like there was too much to wrap up and only 20 pages, is actually what I wrote.
Yeah, and that's what my brain was doing too. So I think kind of similar to like Coley and Blake, that was sort of just like a like kind of ambiguous ending, right? Like it's not saying they're going to be best friends, but it sort of puts them on better terms with each other. Another comparison it went to was like the Mean Girls movie ending, where they all kind of like go their own way, but they're still sort of like kind of connected. They're at the same school. And they're both like working, they're all kind of working on themselves. Obviously that's like a comedy, so it's not as serious as this book, but just sort of in that, like, I think that ambiguous way would have benefited for me, because I think it would have been great to see Sonia work on herself before she just rushed into being with Coley. Cause we got to see Coley really work on herself. Like she got that job, you know. I love the scene where she like sees Kendrick and his boyfriend and talks about what that does for her. So relatable. I love that too. And so, you know, she gets this job, like she gets closer, she's working on this relationship with her dad, like she's growing this like group of people that support her. And so I think to me the ending doesn't make a lot of sense in that way, where she's like building this outside kind of group of support and then all of a sudden she's like back to it with Sonia. When Sonia has literally not really done anything until her ex-boyfriend becomes violent, and then she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that.
When there was definitely hints of it, like literally I think their meeting is him almost killing Coley with a car.
Yeah, and then blaming her. Anyways, so I know I'm probably sounding pretty harsh, and obviously this is just my opinion, But I think I would have loved this novel a lot more if they hadn't just ended up together at the end. Again, I'm not saying that you couldn't have hinted to that they got together in the future, but I think if the ending was more ambiguous, I would have liked it because I wanted to feel like Sonia did more work and was a little bit more deserving, because I don't think where she was at, she really deserved Coley in that moment.
And that's where I've kind of was like, more maybe it's more of a fault of like the narration point she chose. First point of view was interesting, because I know it's obviously hard to write queer couples in third point of view, like third person. So I was like, okay, I was like, I definitely understand why we're doing this, but it kind of goes into, if it wasn't third person, we would have seen Sonia if she had any growth. We only saw a few emails and a few, not emails, what were they again? Like the live journals, the private entries. And it wasn't, and there was so many public entries mixed into those private entries. So we basically only got to see like a scraping, like just a little, like, you know, little chip off the block of like her development. Like we didn't see anything. So I think that could go more into like a narrative issue also, maybe. I don't know. Like if she wanted to keep the ending, like, oh, they ended up together. Like that could have been something to like maybe fix that and give both the girls growth.
I don't know,
that's something that maybe could have worked.
I think just like any way of giving Sonia like the same amount of personal growth that Coley had. I think one note I had is that if she would have left her crappy friends before all of that stuff went down, or like made an effort to sort of distance herself from like the most toxic of the group, which would be Trenton and Brooke.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like one thing I did have a bone to pick with is, why didn't they just dump the two once Coley added? They all outnumbered those two, so like what the heck.
So I think because when she goes to that party at the very end where that fight breaks out and, you know, that all, like, all that stuff occurs, Sonia's basically in the same position she's been in throughout the whole book. Not really a lot of in her life has changed. Well, nothing has changed. So I think I struggled with that just a little bit.
And you know what's interesting? I didn't even think of it that way. I kind of just like, ooh, like, because I really liked the music video. So I was like, ooh, this is like, the ending for me was exciting, because I was like, oh my god, this is like exactly like how the last minute of the music video went. This is great. Like, ooh, yeah, we get to see Coley beat his like beat him up, like, woohoo, like, you know, like. And I really enjoyed the addition of the friends seeing it. I don't know, because in the music video just had the three characters the whole time. They didn't have all these side characters. That's another thing that if you're gonna like, if the listeners are gonna go watch, like, you're not gonna meet Alex, SJ, any of them. I think you literally, in the video, it's only Coley, Sonia, and Trenton. That was just something where it was like, for me, like, exciting. But like, now that hearing you put it into perspective, it's kind of like, oh, I guess, like, obviously I understood that Sonia didn't really have personal growth, but since I understood why she was acting kind of like horrendous, I was like, okay, it's all forgiven, like, in my head, like, as I, like, when I finished it, like, or that was just how I was. But hearing you put it into perspective, I'm like, you know what, we could have benefited from some personal growth. I didn't think of it, but like, yes, we definitely could have.
Well, my lesson on the show is characters can all benefit from more personal growth, just like us.
Exactly. Just like humans.
So unfortunately we are at the end of our time, but thank you so much for coming on the show, Malika.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited about this book. I'm so glad we got to talk about it. I made some art. It was for you. This is anything to you.
'Cause I don't.